Okay. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? For those of you that are watching on video, this communion can be taken at home. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to have a pastor come to your house. You can get a box of matzo bread for about 10 bucks. And, huh? What? God told us to use matzo bread, and this matzo bread, you can get it for like 10 bucks, and it'll last you for a year. And you can get a jar of grapefruit juice, or grape juice. You can get a jar of grape juice, and you can take communion. I would suggest that you get on Joseph Prince Ministries site and get his book for, it costs like $4 on the Holy Communion. And it'll help you get a better revelation of what you're doing. But the main thing that God wants us to understand is to not do this out of some religious habit. Or don't let it be something that you just do once every Sunday or once every other Sunday or whatever. But do it on purpose and release your faith in it and discern the body of Christ so that you can receive the benefits that he intends for you to receive. Number one, he said to take this matzo bread and discern this as the body of Christ. The way to do that is to look at this bread and identify these different aspects of Jesus in this bread. This matzo bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus never once made a mistake, so he had no sin in him. There's no sin in him now. There never was any sin in him. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. You'll notice that there is stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And you'll notice that this bread has been pierced. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was pierced not only when he was on that cross, but his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hands, when he got nails in his feet. Everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood on purpose, and we get redemption. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. We thank you for this broken body. We're taking it for our healing and well-being in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because he had no sin in it, but also the blood of Jesus is the blood of God. That's why his blood never dies, and it continually cleanses us from all sin, and it still protects us. It washed away our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, because of that blood, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. You know, this whole world is in a birthing pain right now. We're going into a new dispensation. We're going into a whole new thing. The old system is being torn down right before our eyes, and we're going into a new way of doing things. Well, you know something? That's an answered prayer. Because we've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, his kingdom is coming. Now, to a lot of people, that's a very scary thing. It shouldn't be to Christians, but there's a lot of Christians that are freaked out about this. You know, we win. His kingdom is coming. That's a good thing. That's what we've been looking for. We should not be scared about that. You are under the blood. If you are born again, you are under the blood. Things work out really well for us in the end. You know, we're going to have a little bit of period of time between now and then that we've got to navigate through things. The Bible tells us that we need to be innocent as doves and wise as serpents. You know, you do need to live your life righteous according to the will of God. You do need to do that. But you also need to pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going, where you're at, who's around you, and what's going on around you. You can't just go wandering off willy-nilly like, I'm going to be okay. I'm a child of God and everything's going to be okay. I'll just walk off into this mess and it's going to be all right. Wake up. People need to wake up. There is an Antichrist running around out there somewhere. There are enemies of God out there. There are people that just don't have your best interest at heart. But if you're paying attention, you'll be able to navigate this just fine. Amen. The Bible tells us to not lean unto our own understanding. But we need to lean unto God's understanding. We need to lean on His wisdom. Lean into His teaching. Our own understanding sometimes is skewed. Sometimes we don't understand things the way they need to be understood. But there's five things that must happen before Jesus returns. We're all looking for that day, aren't we? We're looking for that day. But there's five things that must happen before Jesus returns. One thing that is pointed out is global evangelism. Jesus specifically linked the timing of the end to the spread of his message to every corner of the earth. See in verse 14, says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. See, many scholars believe that nations refers to ethnic groups of people. While the Bible is in many languages, there are still thousands of unreached groups that have never heard this message. There's tribes, I suppose there's still tribes that haven't even been discovered yet. You know, and there's tribes that have not really had any kind of peaceful contact with anybody from the outside world. You know, there's a little island out there in the middle of nowhere off of India. India, I guess, owns it or controls it or whatever, but there's a tribe of people there that, you know, nobody has successfully come in contact with them. If they do land on that island, they die. I seen a picture of an airplane that flew over that island, and they got it in a museum. This airplane is just filled with arrows. And that actually, India has passed a law that it's illegal for you to go there. I'm pretty sure they haven't been reached with the gospel. But there's tribes, you know, there's a lot of tribes all over the place that have not been reached with the gospel. So there's one thing that needs to happen, worldwide evangelism. But, you know, things are changing. You know, when you see open-air meetings where thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Pakistan are getting born again, that's good news. A prince of the UAE stood up and publicly announced that he is a Christian. That's big. Things are changing. We still got a ways to go, but you know, with God, things can happen really, really fast. The second thing that needs to happen is the rise of the man of lawlessness. See, before Jesus returns, a specific individual will rise to global power, acting as a counterfeit Messiah. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you are interested in adventure, you can find people that are just absolutely sure they've identified the Antichrist. And it ranges anywhere from Trump to Jared Kushner to just the list just keeps growing. People just keep on thinking they know who the Antichrist is. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." See, the figure commonly called the Antichrist is described as having a global platform and the ability to perform lying signs and wonders to deceive the world. If you look down to verse 9, it tells us, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." This is one of the things the charismatic church needs to wake up. They get so hooked on signs and wonders, on the goosey bumpy feelings. They get so hooked on seeing something happen till they will chase events, they will chase signs and wonders, they will chase that special feeling and skip the word. See, there was a prophet that came up into the panhandle one time. And everybody said, "Oh my God, we got to go see this guy. We got to go see this guy. This guy is the cast me out. This guy is special. We got to go see this guy." And this guy does, oh man, this is just so cool. So everybody jumped. We all drove up there to see this guy. This guy come out there and they did a lot of flopping around. There was a lot of stuff going on. And then he talked about his website that cost $30,000 for 30 minutes. He talked about that. Said, "Anybody want to get born again? Get up here." And he hit the back door. The pastor of the church had to come up there and minister salvation to these guys. And he literally talked about his website for 30 minutes. And he'd go touch somebody on the forehead. They'd fall down on the ground, flop around for a while. And then they go home and they thought, "Man, that was wonderful." And I told one of them, I said, "Did you realize he talked about his $30,000 website for 30 minutes didn't say anything about the Word of God? See how that happens? Sensationalism. Sensationalism gets people caught up. People see things, they want to run to it. This is one of the things about people. Every single person on the face of this earth is in the same boat in this subject. We all have a spirit. And we have all been in contact with the miracle-working God. God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. We have all been in contact with Him. See, that explains humans' craving for the supernatural. We've been in contact with the supernatural. So we want to see things happening. So now here's the thing. Before a man gets born again, he's led by his five natural senses. His sense of touch, smell, taste, hearing, and sight. And before he gets born again, he doesn't have that leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, the world calls it the sixth sense. His name is not the sixth sense. His name is Holy Spirit. And people have contact with him until they reach this age of accountability. You know, that's when that witness kind of gets out of them for a little bit, until they get born again. But they still have this craving for the supernatural. So here's what happens. People will go to church. They want to go see something happening. They go there and they don't see something happening. See, this is why, you know, one thing. That's why it's important that we video things like baptisms, video people getting prayed for. Well, it might hurt their feelings. They'll get over it. Video it. Let the world see what's going on. You know, there's people that are watching these videos. Let people see something happening. When people see something happening, it attracts them. That's their five natural senses is the only way God can deal with them. So anyway, a lot of times these people show up at a church and nothing happens. So then they start looking around and they see some occult activity and they see something happening. You know, the devil can do lying, signs, and wonders. So then they wander off over to that place and they get in deeper trouble than what they already are. Christian, get to looking for signs and wonders. And they see something happen over in the occult, and they wander off over into that area. Do not follow signs and wonders. Follow the Word of God. The Word of God will attract signs and wonders. But signs and wonders will attract the works of the devil. If you don't have it backed by the Word of God, you're getting off into no man's land. See, Jesus said you should go into all the world, preach the gospel. Amen. What happened? They went out into all the world, and God confirmed His Word with signs and wonders. Healings. People getting healed, set free. People getting born again. Things happening. That's what the world needs us to see. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but people of the world don't have a habit of just rushing in through that door now, do they? I don't know if you've noticed this or not either, but people of the church don't seem to have a habit of rushing out into the mission field. See, the mission field is the minute you step out that door, that's the mission field. You're in it. And you do have a job. See, we're supposed to be witnesses everywhere we go. We have an opportunity to pray for people. We have an opportunity to witness to people. We have an opportunity to talk to people. We have an opportunity to invite people to church. There's a lot of opportunities. Amen. There are people that really are curious about what's going on and they want to know something about it. But they don't really want to come in by themselves. They want to be invited. Amen. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 talks about that counterfeit Messiah. There is going to come a day when somebody actually says that. I've seen some flakes running around saying they were Jesus, you know, and all this. But there's going to be a notable figure that everybody knows at some point that's going to announce himself as the Messiah. Jesus said, don't go running off after the Messiahs. And whether they say, look here or look there, don't go. Don't go. There's even talk about a computer-generated AI Messiah that's going to show up in the sky. Don't go running off chasing that thing. You'll know the time and hour. You will know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You'll know. The third thing that needs to happen is the abomination of desolation. See, this is a specific event where the Antichrist desecrates a holy site, signaling the start of the final phase of the end time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, Jesus also mentions this in Matthew chapter 24, verse... Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. See, Jesus even talked about that. He was pointing back to the prophet Daniel. Because this happens in the temple, many believe that a third temple must be built in Jerusalem before this can happen. So that's one of the things that a lot of people are focused on, waiting on this third temple to be built. You know, because that's one of the things that needs to happen for prophecy, evidently. You know, I don't know how long it'll take to build that temple. I don't think, you know, they might be able to get it fast now with modern technology. But there are some things that need to be in that temple, and evidently the Jewish people already have all the furniture, all of the stuff that they need to put in that temple. And even Texas is involved in this little deal, because one of the things that they had to have is the ashes of a red heifer. Well, they found some pure red heifers in Texas, and they took them to Israel, and they inspected them, and they passed. And I've also seen some footage where they actually did sacrifice one of these red heifers, And they mix those ashes with hyssop, and people are getting healed. It's not broadcast all over the place, but that's one of the things that it needs. And how close are we? I don't know. But we're closer than we ever have been. Every day we're a little closer. The next thing that needs to happen, and this is where a lot of people get scared, is the Great Tribulation. See, Jesus described a period of global distress so severe that it would threaten the survival of the human race. Right there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sakes, those days shall be shortened." So there's a lot of timelines that you can see in the Bible. See, there's some people that have a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib rapture. You know, some say that the church is going to be raptured out of here before trouble hits. You can see that in the Bible, and that could be. And some people say that somewhere in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation, the church will be raptured out of here. And you can see that in the Bible. And you can also see how maybe the people that get raptured out of there in the middle of the tribulation were people that weren't born again yet, but got born again. And then some people think that you just go right from the tribulation right into the millennial reign. Some people say that the desecration of abomination has already happened. You know, when Jesus was standing, was on Solomon's porch at the temple, that they dug up and they can see the floor. Well, no, serious. You can see the floor. Right where Jesus stood talking about these things, there's a pentagram in the middle of that temple, right there on the floor. Some say that's the desecration. You know, wherever we are, and I've tried to tell people this, it doesn't matter what timeline we're on, whether we're waiting for the millennial reign, waiting to get raptured out of here so we can go to the millennial reign. It doesn't matter if we're in the tribulation right now. There's some people swear we're in the tribulation. There's some people swear we're in Satan's little season. Guess what's going to happen? Thy kingdom is going to come, and His will is going to be done. Amen. There's nothing that you can do to change it. God wins. Do you think the devil is going to be able to thwart anything that God has said will happen? No. If you want to know how things are supposed to be in the end, go to the beginning. How did God set it up in the beginning? How did He set it up in the garden? That's how it's supposed to be. One thing about eschatology is people are always learning another revelation. They keep learning. You know, they get something figured out, and then that timeline passes, and then they figure something else out. And then that timeline passes. And then they figure something else out. And then that timeline passes. But Jesus never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "You are saved, you are in the family of God, and things are going to work well for you." Guess what? That's the way it is. But most people ruin their day trying to figure out how everything's going to happen. And then they make their day worse by arguing about it. Can you change any part of it? What did Jesus say about worry? Can worry add one cubit to your stature? Can't do nothing but ruin your day. Then the church is missing the forest because of the trees. We should be enjoying the ride. Didn't he say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? Seek first the kingdom of God. Love, joy, peace, holy, and love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. But here we are, chasing every rabbit that goes through the grass, thinking we got a whole new answer and everybody else is wrong. You know, there's people that will not go to church because they have something that they figured out that nobody else seems to have a grasp on. And since you don't talk about that one thing that they got figured out, you're all wrong and it's all a lie that you got, and they're not going to go to church. And the ideas that people have out there are just about as many as there are people. There's a lot of crazy ideas out there. But see, the distress, the global distress that's going on, and the threat to humanity is very real. You know, with the nuclear powers, all somebody has to do is punch one button. And guess what's going to happen? Everybody that has a button is going to push a button, and every nuclear weapon that they have is going to go in the air. That is a threat to humanity, wouldn't you say? See, this time is further explained in the book of Revelations, chapter 6 through 19. We're not going to go in there. There's a whole bunch of chapters talking about it, but they talk about the seal. They talk about the trumpet, and they talk about the bowl. These are judgments which involve ecological collapses. There's some ecological collapses that have been happening. The floods that we had, the fires that we've had, the earthquakes that we had, massive amounts of tornadoes and hurricanes. That's an ecological collapse. Also, we have economic crisis. And I don't know if you've noticed, but this nation is in an economic crisis right now. I think we are $37 trillion in debt. Financial systems all over the world are shaking right now. They're hanging by a thread. Banks are hanging by a thread. The big lie is coming to a crash. The economic system is about ready to be completely abolished from what we've ever known. It's going to be wiped out. We've already had major bank collapses. We're going to have some really big ones coming up pretty soon. Really big, really big bank collapses. I told you before, gold and silver is God's money. If you have anything in the stock market, I would say yesterday was the day to be out of there. What's happening is these false systems that were meant to enslave us and keep us ensnared, that Jesus warned us about, because it all goes back to the bankers, the usury. That system is coming to an end. And I believe that we're just a few clicks away from enjoying our very first Jubilee. See, Jubilee is an interesting thing that God talked about in the Bible. And they even wrote, there's even a book called the Book of Jubilee. But see, God set this Feast of Jubilees down in the Old Testament, and he told them exactly how it was supposed to be, and it was supposed to be celebrated every 7 years and every 49 years. What happens in the Book of Jubilee, what happens in the Feast of Jubilees, when they had a Jubilee, every 7 years, all debts got released. If you lost anything, you got it back. If you were a slave, you got set free. Wow. Has any of you ever celebrated a Feast of Jubilee? No. No, in fact, there are some people that live in debt for 49 years, and they still don't get a Jubilee. That was not God's design. That was the people that set up the usury tables, designed the bankers. See, these people have been at it for thousands of years. This isn't a new thing. They've been at it for a very long time. It's called the Babylonian system. They're still at it. And actually, it even goes back to Rome. They're tied in. This system that keeps people enslaved is grinding to a halt. Another thing is a massive loss of life. We witnessed some of that during the COVID. The numbers that we've heard are not anywhere near the truth. We don't know how many people in China, we may never ever know the truth on that, how many people got terminated in China. We don't know. We have no idea how many people have been taken out. And we really don't know how many people are going to be. But you need to understand that this is not over. There are some things you can do to alter the course, but you need to get on it. If you know some, I try to tell people, sometimes I run into people that have been heavily vaxxed and they're walking around dragging a leg and stuff, and I'll try to tell them, so you can get that out of your body. You anti-vax, how could you be that way? I said, well, you know, I'm not growing anything out of my head. Look at you. But they won't accept the answer. They won't accept the truth. The turbo cancers, you know, that was a word that never existed before COVID. Turbo cancer, have you heard of that before COVID? Never heard that word. Now you find people where all of a sudden they get some little thing wrong with them, all of a sudden they got seven different kinds of super aggressive cancers?
What about
huh?
Sudden adult death syndrome, you never heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people just die. Perfectly healthy athletes just die. Not just one or two, but lots of them. The next thing that has to happen is the gathering of Armageddon. See, there's a final event. It's a literal military gathering of nations intended to destroy Israel and oppose the returning Christ. Let's look at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 says, he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. That's the place, Armageddon. They have plans for a big battle where these nations and people are going to oppose Christ's coming. I pay attention to a lot of things that happen around in the world, and then one thing I noticed was a picture where it was kind of a troubling picture. But there was a table of seven people there with eight flags behind them, and Trump standing in front of them, and American flag. All these different flags in there, everybody's flag except for Israel. You know, in the book of Daniel, it talks about a time where there's seven kings without kingdoms and eight flags. They talk about the ten horn prophecy. And we got to know that there's coming an end time battle where all these nations gather against Israel to destroy Israel. The Abraham Accord is bringing all these Arab nations together in a covenant. We don't really know how all this is going to work out, but their one problem child, Iran, is being dealt with right now. What happens when Iran becomes a part of the Abraham Accord? Are we a day closer to Armageddon? Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, we'll go on there. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with that flesh. See, that describes the actual return of Jesus on a white horse to intervene in this battle, defeating the armies of the Antichrist and establishing his kingdom. He is going to come back. He is going to come back. Somebody will invariably say, well, when is that going to be? You've been saying that for 2,000 years, when the fullness of times has been fulfilled. He will come back when it is time. And he will establish his kingdom on this earth. It'll be a good thing. We just got some journey left to go. You know, we're in one of the most amazing times that you could possibly be in. We're right on the edge of seeing something that people haven't ever seen. We're on the edge of being into true freedom. We don't know exactly how this path is going to go, but don't whine about the bumps in the road. Be shouting hallelujah that you're heading to freedom. Amen? There's a lot of people, it just irritates me how many people are griping about the bumps. And they lose focus on the freedom that we're going to. And this bump didn't go the way they thought it was going to go. They get mad and they throw a big fit. This bump shouldn't have been there according to their plan. They get mad and they throw a big fit. Trump didn't do just exactly what they thought he should do. They get mad, they throw a big fit. I about gave a guy a heart attack the other day going through the store. Yeah, I was just walking, and he said, how's it going? I said, it's getting better every day. And he literally grabbed his chest, leaned up against the cooler, and said, Trump is trying to ruin the government. What? I tried to talk to him. He just went raving on. I just waved him off. And guess what? He's not a liberal Democrat. He's a Republican. People need to wake up. Trump is not your savior, by the way. But you know, God can use people, good or bad, to get done what he needs to get done. So don't think that just because somebody may be a bad person in your eyes, that doesn't mean they can't be used by God to get something good done. And don't think that just because somebody's good in your eyes means that they've got your best interest at heart. See, this is one thing I really like about what's going on now. There's people that we really thought were really, really good. And they're turning out to be complete rat finks. You know, we find it in the Senate. It's happening in the Senate, the House. It's happening in our local government. It's happening all over the place. There is a sifting. There is a sifting not only of this whole nation, but of the whole world. The whole world is being sifted. And the churches are being sifted. Every denomination is being sifted. The people are being sifted. You might call it the separating of the chaff of the wheat. But nobody is going to be unsifted. When we get through the other side, they will have been through the entire process. Every single one of them. Then maybe we can get to that verse in the Bible said where he brings us all together in the unity of the faith. And we quit arguing about a bunch of non-essential scruples that the church comes up to fight with. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for blessing.